2025 is also the 30th anniversary of the world premiere of The Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. Boy, can you imagine A, performing The Bible, the Complete Word of God, abridged at B, what has become of the Kennedy Center now?
No.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. I'm Austin Titchener, co-artistic director of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, now in its 19th year, number 986, Celebrating the Bible. Like all of our Reduced Shakespeare Company scripts, The Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, is an irreverent celebration of, as we say in the script, the greatest story ever accepted as fact. Written by me, Reed Martin, and Adam Long, The Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged was nominated for a Helen Hayes Award for Best New Play of 1995, and now, on its 30th anniversary, the original cast of me, Reed, and Matt Croke gathered on Zoom to talk about the show's original reception and how, perhaps paradoxically, some of the most genuinely devout folks have loved this show the most.
My parents were both very born again Christians, you know, charismatic, blah, blah, blah. The Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, is my father's favorite Reduced Shakespeare Company show. It's an irreverent celebration. There's nothing in there that's blasphemous. It's just fun. But we premiered it 30 years ago. The trouble is, well, I don't know if it's the trouble. It's just the fact nobody will book this show anymore. Because the country's become so polarized and so defensive, just the idea of doing a funny, irreverent show about the Bible just sets everybody's alarms off.
It's the ultimate example of the work that we do, a celebration of a subject or a thing that we love, and like the way we do with everything, including our personal relationships, we tease, we make fun of the thing that we love. This is the point I had to make on live television in Northern Ireland, 10 or a dozen years ago, whenever it was, when we had the kerfuffles in Northern Ireland when we were touring The Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, and we were banned temporarily. And then I had to go on television and say, well, you're mocking our word. And I said, have you read the play? You know, these are priests, Catholic priests. Have you read the play? No, I don't need to read the play. Well, then you are literally ignorant of what you're talking about. I have read your book and you have not read my play. And I made the example of, I've been married to my wife for 30 years. I tease her every day. You think I'm not going to make fun of a book?
Yeah. Well, you say, I think what you say is right. It's kind of the ultimate example of the kind of thing we're looking forward to do a show about. It's long. It's boring in places. And people take it way seriously.
And we did make a conscious effort. We specifically, because we wrote, you know, many drafts of it, many drafts were written. And we had some things that were a little more biting. And we remember having these conversations. Do we want to entertain or do we want to be controversial? We have a lot of funny things in here. But do we want people to walk away with the one bad thing that might have cut too close? And we decided we didn't. We weren't chickening out. We said, no, we want to entertain. And so we used that. And the best one was, you know, with Pilate coming out as Pilate. That's a sight gag that really replaces what could really be considered taboo topics.
And yeah, Pilate coming out. That's the direction we went. Pilate coming out as an airplane pilot. Yeah.
We bent over backwards. I mean, it's probably of all the shows, it's probably the least cutting. And remember, we got that great review from the nun in Virginia,
Sister Ann Walsh, Arlington Catholic Herald. It's wacky and zany and a little profaney. Yeah.
Which nails it. And the minister for the Church of Scotland, who told us after our performance in Edinburgh that it was better than the book.
There you go. There you go. So I remember we rehearsed it at the RSC compound in the woods of Northern California.
Right.
And then we workshopped it in Alaska, I think in Homer, Alaska, at the Pier 9 Theater. Is that what it was called?
That sounds right.
And University of Alaska at Anchorage. Mm-hmm. And I maybe did a couple of shows in Fairbanks. And then we took it to the American Repertory Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where we performed already once or twice.
Yeah.
I think we performed in, what's the university up near the Capitol?
Suffolk? Suffolk University on Beacon Hill. Yeah.
Yeah, we did it there. And then,
Well, that journey, Reed, just to stop you there, that journey was that Alaska really made the show because they don't get a lot of entertainment there. And the University of Anchorage welcomed us with open arms. Our first show ran 3 hours and nobody left. And after each show, people would stick around and we would say, what did you like and didn't like? And we shaped that to a 2-hour show.
Yeah.
So we did all sorts of things and they were gracious. They were great. And then we always laugh later because then we took it to Boston where I heard, you know, Austin famously say again, they smiled uproariously. And we thought, man, if we would have done that the opposite, we would have probably thought we had a flop on our hands. So that Alaska workshopping it there, then we ended up working shopping almost every show or many shows after that there because it was such a great experience.
Well, and the writing the show had its own built-in structure: Old Testament first act, New Testament second act, and then our joke was when we take it to Israel, it's just a one act. Wah wah. We really found what jokes work and what jokes we can make when we started playing it in front of an audience. I mean, that even more than many of the shows I can remember seemed to really find the guts and the humanity and the comedy when we were actually doing it on stage in front of people.
Well, and I don't know, I think Phil Abrams was in for you when we took the show to Israel, Austin, as I recall, but
mm-hmm, he was.
It was the case. They loved the first act. And we did the second act. And I seem to recall people coming up saying, what are these apostles?
Okay. When Jesus Christ, anybody.
Well, and how it came about, I think is interesting and reflects how times have changed. So we performed at the Kennedy Center for the first time in the summer of 94. We did Complete Works, I think, for a week and a half, and then History of America for many weeks.
The rest of the summer.
Yeah. And they said, what are you writing next? We want you back. And we performed one of our other shows in Israel, and they sort of said jokingly, oh, you should do the Bible. And so it was just sort of in the back of our mind. And when the Kennedy Center asked, we just said, maybe the Bible. They said, great, write it. You're booked.
Yeah.
So in late summer of 94, the show was only an idea and it was already booked for the Kennedy Center. So then, you know, we wrote it and workshopped it, and we did. We brought it back in 95 and I think was nominated for Best New Play at the Helen Hayes Awards in Washington.
We realized too that all right, if we're gonna premiere it at the Kennedy Center, we can't possibly do the first performances of this thing at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., which is one of the three major cities in America that has the center of American media. So that's why we scrambled to get these workshop performances at ART and in Alaska, where we could do that mm-hmm. important work of figuring out how the show works. So we had it polished and honed by the next summer. And every now and then, as a guy who wrote two plays during the pandemic and has only had one of them produced, and I go grumble, 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 bitter, bitter, bitter. I think about how we've never received a commission to write a play. Nobody's ever asked us, hey, let you write this play. We'll give you some money and you write a play for us. We've never had that. But we have had theaters willing to say, you write it and we'll produce it. And that has been a game changer.
Kennedy Center has done it. Merrimack Rep has done it. Pittsburgh Public Theater has done that. So, no, they didn't pay us to write it, but sight unseen, because there was nothing to be seen yet. They said, we'll book it. Pittsburgh did it with the Hollywood Show.
You're right. And they trusted us. They trusted us to write it and bring them something polished. And that's what we did.
Hello, folks. This is Mike McShane, and you're listening deeply and completely to the Reduce Shakespeare Company podcast.
Yes.
Where can you RSC the RSC? This December, we'll perform the ultimate Christmas show abridged in Washington State at the Edmonds Center for the Arts on December 3rd, in Olympia on December 4th, and the Capitol Theater in Yakima on December 12th, as well as the Reeser Center in Beaverton, Oregon on December 10th. Sign up for our newsletter or check out the touring page at our website, ReduceShakespeare.com, or our social media pages for venue and ticket information. Now back to my conversation with Matt Croak and Reed Martin, with me, the original cast members of The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged, written by me, Reed, and Adam Long.
Now, Matt, this is the first show you worked on with us from scratch, as I recall, The Bible Show. And we recall bringing in... this is where we brought in Steve Smith to get some feedback.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What stories do you remember? Steve Smith was director of Clown College when Matt Croak and I went in 87 and 88.
And Austin didn't know Steve Smith. And in one part in the show, we had this long thing with Abraham and Isaac, and it was like, hold my meat. And he was holding, meat. Save me meat. And then there's physical gags of cane swingings and duckings and eye pokes, and it wasn't working, and we all knew it wasn't working. But we kept punting and saying, don't worry, when Steve gets here, he'll fix it. And Austin's like, all right. And so we rehearsed some more, and we're like, I don't know, this isn't what, don't worry, when Steve gets here, he'll fix it. So Steve comes in, he sees our first show. Austin's chomping at the bit to know who this genius is. He goes, Steve, I got to ask you. You know that bit about the savory meat? They've been telling me, you'll fix it, you'll fix it, you'll fix it. Can you fix it? And Steve goes, yes, cut it.
He was right. Get rid of it.
And we did. We cut all of it.
He proved his genius right there. That's never going to be funny. Cut it and move on.
Move on.
And yet our friend, legendary improviser and actor Mike McShane, still quotes that bit, still quotes, I'm jonesing for savory meat. So somehow, somewhere, he saw The Bible Show when that bit was still in the show.
I think we left a sentence in there, maybe. I don't know. It might have been. Yeah, or maybe you saw it early days. Our only other audio recording by Laughingstock, we went in a studio and recorded The Bible. And I'm not even sure made it to CD. I think cassette only.
Well, and I remember having to write a B section for Begatten. Because for the song Begatten, just had a kind of verse and a chorus. And then when we recorded it for audio, I went, oh, well, we should write a release to this, a bridge. And so I wrote the bridge, and then that came out, Begatten with a Partner is Better Than Your Hand. And so we went, oh, well, we should put that into the stage show. Let's put that in. Yeah.
Speaking of savory meat. Yeah.
It's too bad for so many reasons that the world is so polarized. But the most important reason is that people won't book this show, and it's such a good show. And in fact, there's one theater up in Wisconsin, Seven Ages Theatricals, that did the world premiere of my script for Fool last summer, is doing The Bible, The Complete Word of God Abridged this spring.
Here's proof to me how good of a show it is. When we talk about we can't, you know, do it anymore because of the world, I think we offend both sides. I mean, we make fun of, and we always have make fun of woke, right? We make, if you will, in the great books about you can't say this word, and we make fun of, and yet we piss off the other side about how, like, we literally make both sides unhappy. That shows you how good that show is. I don't care who you are, what you believe, we're going to see it, call it as we see it, and it hits.
Somehow they're offended when they say, well, how did Mary conceive Jesus? And we say, well, the angel of the Lord came upon her. And somehow that offends them. I don't know.
I think the biggest problem is most people are offended by the very idea.
That's it.
Yeah. That how dare you make fun of this book? Well, and then this is the other thing that came up during the kerfuffles in Northern Ireland. Well, you wouldn't make fun of the Quran. Yes, you're right. I wouldn't make fun of the Quran. The biggest reason is it's not my book. I'm not mm-hmm. Muslim. It's I that would be rude to make fun of somebody else's book. It's but the Bible is my book. It's as much my book as it is anybody's. And the stories are universal and great. And I love stories. Stories are important and fundamental and foundational.
And the experiences we as young children grew up hearing those stories at school and in church and wherever we went.
Yeah. Well, and would that our reaction among parts of the religious community were the same as the reaction among Shakespeare Company artistic directors and scholars who love the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged? It's an irreverent celebration. What we're not twisting for comic effect, we're intentionally getting right. We're not hurting Shakespeare. We're celebrating Shakespeare, yeah. right?
Yeah.
But somehow some of the religious fundamentalists just don't play.
Yeah, that. See, I think we're arguing against a certain denominator is that, to Reed's point earlier, we've had many religious people who love the Bible. They get it. People have seen it and go, oh my gosh, this is a celebration. So it's really, like you said, it's not even a religious issue. It's an issue of, well, how dare you make fun of something? Not understanding that making fun is a celebration of something.
And I think we were performing it. Did we perform it in San Diego? We performed it somewhere where youth church leaders brought their students to see the show as a way of introducing kids to the stories in the Bible in a fun, healthy, I guess, way, you know, not as boring literature.
And, you know, a similar story, related story, is there was a UK tour of the Bible show, and there was a guy, I think his name was Tony Bennett, not the singer, who was sort of following it around and trying to make legal trouble. I guess blasphemy laws still exist or did in Britain, and he got nowhere in Britain, and then they took it, I think they took the show to Dublin, and he was trying to cause trouble there. Mm. This is before the Northern Irish kerfuffles, and so the actors relayed to us a story where there were protesters out front, and they said, well, what is it particularly about the show? Can you give us some specific examples of what you find offensive? And they said, well, and this is what you were referring to. Well, we actually haven't seen it, but we're told it's offensive. And they said, well, what if we gave you tickets? Would you come see it and then talk to us about what it is that you find blasphemous? And they came to see the show, and they came out and they said, we're so sorry. We were misinformed. We have no issues with this show.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast, except for one more thing, which I'll share with you in about 60 seconds, so stick around. The Bible, the Complete Word of God Abridged, is available for both professional and amateur licensing. Go to BroadwayPlayPublishing.com for more information. Then send us your irreverent celebration via email to feedback@ReducedShakespeare.com or throw a comment to us over on the socials or on our own actual website, ReducedShakespeare.com. Or visit my website, theshakespeareans.com. Thanks, as always, to extremely fetching Salome Matthew Croak, web services by Ginger Power Limited, and music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout-out this week goes to Jenga Neck. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to the great and good Mike McShane. And as always, thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 986 2958ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Not to do Reduced Shakespeare Company 101, it's about three people on stage making fun of each other and getting through trying to put the Bible on. It's not, oh, here's the Bible, let's make fun of it.
Amen.
A person.
Sorry.
Atypical.
A-hole.
You beat me to a-hole.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.